Good morning and welcome to our Lighthouse podcast. Such a joy to be with you only 6 days from Christmas. Hey, let's pray and then I want to get into our study for the day. Father, what a joy it is to get excited about this season of giving gifts for a reason, because it reflects the love that you poured out for us in the greatest gift of all, that you came incarnate as a man to live under the law, to fulfill the law, because we can't, we break the law, but then to be scourged and nailed to a cross to pay for the price of our sins and overcome both sin and death. What a gift, because the gift that you give to us is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, O God, for your love for us. As I pray, you bless our time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure that you have traditions. We have traditions at the Heath House, and one of those traditions is on Christmas Eve night, we have a birthday party for Jesus. And I think a lot of people do that. Ours is a little bit different. One of the things that we have, some different things, we won't get into all of those things. We don't have enough time for that. But one of the things that we do every single time is we read out of Luke chapter 2. But there's a condition. And every single time, it's like you got to listen really close in order to be able to hear something that potentially you've never heard before, or to recognize something about the story that you've never understood before. And every year, our family goes, I read the story, and our family shares. We go around the table, and we share what God is saying to us. And so, you know, I'm kind of cheating a little bit. I've been already thinking about, Lord, what is it that I haven't learned and understood? And there's so much to that story. And so, what is it that you would have me, Lord, to be sharing with my family? Well, you're part of my family. So I thought I would share what God's been putting on my heart about this story. So if you're part of my family, you got to hear the story. Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed. This was the first registration when Quirinius, was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up to that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. So I hope you heard amazing things, things that maybe you didn't hear, or maybe you had thoughts about things that you hadn't thought about. Well, for me, one of the things that was striking to me this year is I began to think of all the adversity that Mary and Joseph, Joseph and Mary had. I mean, it was just one thing after another. And it seems like sometimes in our lives, it's just one thing after another. And, you know, we say sometimes that appliances go in threes because one breaks down, we fix it, and another one breaks down, and so on. And so what do we do through these adversities? Well, I want to look quickly at these adversities that some of these adversities that both Joseph and Mary had. One, she became pregnant with the Holy Spirit while she was a virgin. How do you explain that? But how would you deal with that mentally, knowing I'm a virgin and I'm pregnant? I don't, you know, how do you deal with that? Next is overcoming the shame. People looking, people whispering, people pointing, you know, doing that thing that people do, right? When they're looking to judge someone, but they don't know the facts, do they? And of course, being ordered away from their home, forced to eliminate any and all possessions that they may have had to down to what they could carry on this long journey. And this journey was well over 100 miles that they had to take, and they had to walk. And so, you know, it could have taken them easily as much as a total of 54, 55, 60 hours, depending upon how fast they were walking, or more. So a number of days and nights. And then it wouldn't surprise me that they ran into a lot of grumpy people, because people were being displaced because of the government's rule to go back to your home. Why do I have to go back to my house? Why? You know, and that's what we do, is we grumble and we complain a lot rather than just trusting in what the Lord is doing. And then they had to pay a tax. Well, if they could only afford to take care of two turtle doves or a couple of pigeons, trust me, they didn't have much. And of course, we know that there was no lodging for them. In fact, quite possibly who they were, people relegated them to the manger. Now, the only place for you would be a manger, you know, a place where there's no sanity. Or sanitary care or environment to have a baby. a rock shelter. It wasn't like a wooden manger. No, it was a rock shelter that they went into to get out of at least the weather. No place to lay the baby except for a manger, a feeding trough. Oh, we're going to talk more about that next week. But this week, I want to keep going because, you know, just the frustration of the conditions and you know, we would justify grumbling and complaining. But in every obstacle, God was providing for them. Just as in every obstacle, God was providing for us. It says to us in Romans chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." See, there's only one way that God or that man is able to have peace with God, and that's through Jesus Christ, through this babe who came. That's where we get inner peace, the peace that settles our heart when everything is going wrong. And then it goes on and it says in verse 2, "Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand." Grace, God's unmerited favor, his love, his unconditional love, is this: I don't have to go and straighten out my life for God to finally accept me. No, God accepts me right where I am. I don't know where you've been or what you've done or what's happened recently. Even if you were just now grumbling and complaining and you're listening to this podcast and you're being convicted, no, God's grace, his heart is for you. He's saying, "This is what I have for you. I have my unlimited, unmerited love." And then it goes on and it says this: "And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now, there's something about why we can rejoice in our hope. And it's explained further as we read on. It says, "Not only that, but that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." You see, we get hope as we endure through suffering, as we trust through these difficulties that we face. But it's not just, "Oh, I'm going to survive." No, we're trusting in God and that he's going to provide, even in ways that maybe we wouldn't choose, but ways that he would choose, because he wants to write his story, the recognition of his hand at work in our lives. Because he's producing a character. The character that God is producing in our lives through suffering, through difficulties, through challenges, as we trust in him, is the character of his son, the one that he sent for our behalf. And this hope does not put us to shame, but God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, God gives far more than what our finite minds think. We think it was just a babe. No, it was God himself who came to rescue us. Rescue us by being faithful to live the law, the one who was able to live without sin, but then to be sacrificed for our benefit. Oh, it's right that he would be referred to as the bread of heaven because he was laid in the manger, right? Oh, we want to talk more about that next week. But can I offer this to you, that no matter what you're facing, no matter how difficult the challenges may be, we have reason to rejoice. Because the King has come and we trust in him and the story that he's writing because of his deliverance that he will bring. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But can I just say, Merry Christmas. And I look forward to spending more time with you next year. God bless you. ¶¶